Okay, so let's see. Last week, we were talking about prayer. And what all did we talk about last week? We talked about letting your heart connect to the Lord. That was the primary thing. That's what we hit harder than anything else, is letting your heart connect to the Lord. Just like K-Love or any other radio station in town has its radio waves in this room this morning, but because you don't have a radio and you're not tuned to the right channel, we're not hearing them. But they're here. TV18's, their radio waves are in this room this morning, or TV waves or whatever they're called. They're in this room this morning, but you got to have a TV to tune into it. God is here this morning, just like those radio waves, just like those TV waves. And so the only way to hear what he's got to say is to tune your heart towards him. And by way of that, we're putting away our selfishness. We're putting away our gross yuckiness, putting away our sin, and focusing our attention and concentrating on him, on his goodness, and on his greatness. That was what we primarily hit last week. Also, let's see, we talked about when should we pray. We should pray always. Always. So, and I don't know that necessarily means we should always be praying, right? Because sometimes you have to, like, go to work. Sometimes you have to drive. I think what it means is let your heart be connected to the Lord always. And so always available to him, always available. Your heart is always available to speak right out to the Lord at any given moment, even in the midst of your sin. Oh, but I just created a big sin. Well, then now's the best time to go to him. That's what we talked about. So anyway, we talked about what should we pray. We talked about when should we pray. We talked about what sort of prayer is. So this week, we're going to talk about why we should pray. And there's a lot of things, a lot of reasons. We actually have four. We have four reasons. So we're gonna jump into those now. The first one is to fulfill your relationship with God. Okay, so Shannon and I are married and have been now for 18 years, which is pretty cool. So, because she's fantastic. Anyway, so like on Monday of this last week, I worked in the morning. She works, you know, I work during the day, not just in the morning. I work in the mornings and the afternoon, and then she does too, and then after school on this past Monday, she picks up the boys from school, and then her and Silas had a date night. And she did that with our boys once a month. So she goes out with Silas once a month. She goes out with Levi once a month and me once a month. This coming Monday is my night, and I'm excited. Anyway, so we worked all day. We got home with the boys, and then she basically turned around and left again and was gone for 2 or 3 hours, whatever. You know, it was 8 o'clock or so by the end of the night. Now, by the time they had gotten back. So we had, you know, we've been, you know, we love each other. We've been talking throughout the day via text message or however, but not really like connecting in the same way that you do when you're together. And so by the end of a day like that, both of us are ready to sit down and communicate. We're ready to sit down and let our hearts connect. We don't have this. In our last house, we had this really cool place. We had two recliners that just faced each other right in front of this big bay window, and it was wonderful. And we would sit there and talk about life and the boys and whatever else. So we don't have that now, and that frustrates both of us. But we did this week, this Monday, we sat down on the couch, and I was just ready to, like, talk to her about life, ready to talk to her about my day, ready to hear about hers, which is a lot more words than mine. But I'm ready for them. I'm ready for them. Should I tattle on my wife? Okay, I'm gonna tattle on my wife a little bit. So back when we both worked at the woodshed, we both pulled like 7-hour shifts. It was a 7-hour shift at the woodshed, and so I'd come home from work and I'd be like, and she would, oh, how was your day? And it was a normal day. That's the end of the words I have for my day at the woodshed. She would come home from her 7-hour shift, and so how was your day? Cut to 45 minutes later, and she's still like laying out every single drama that these people have in their lives. And that, anyway, she has a lot more words than I do. But, you know, we made it through that, and so thankfully she got a different job. Anyway, so, but we love to sit and connect. We love to sit and connect. Okay, so in that same way, the Lord wants to sit and connect with you. In the same way, He wants you to tune your heart to Him and connect with Him in the same way. And so, I'm not going to read you this whole story, but Jesus had a friend by the name of Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus died. I don't know if you're familiar with the story or not. Lazarus died. Jesus was not there when he died. He shows up later, and he says to Mary and Martha, you're going to see something amazing about to happen. That's what Jesus said. And so Jesus is about to raise him from the dead. So Jesus tells the people who are standing there, roll the stone away from his grave, because he had already been buried. He'd been dead for 3 days. And they're like, look, if we roll that stone back, it's going to stink, Jesus. And Jesus is like, let's do it anyway. So now, we're going to catch up with this story in verse 41. So they of John chapter 11. So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, listen to this, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Okay. What I think here is really interesting is Jesus' prayer. Because Jesus basically just says, Father, thank you for hearing me. Like this, you would think, okay, he's about to raise a guy from the dead. This is going to be a big prayer, right? This is like, God, like I'm expecting you to do this thing in my own name. Bring him out. It's not what happened. Jesus and God had already worked this out days ago. Maybe weeks ago, Jesus and God had already worked this out just through their relationship time. Jesus was always sneaking away to pray quietly by himself. He was always doing that. And so sometime in one of those quiet times he had with God the Father, the two of them worked this out. So Jesus didn't have to have this great big prayer here. He said, God, thank you that you're hearing me. In fact, I'm really only praying so that these people around here will see me praying, so they'll know that it's you that sent me. Other than that, let's do the thing. Come on out. That's what happened here. That's the kind of relationship. Now, you're like, oh, but Jesus was God. Yeah, but he was also human. He had the same opportunity for relationship when he was here on earth as you do. You have the same opportunity as Jesus to be, to have a prayer life like Jesus had. And so, like, if we were wanting to raise somebody from the dead, it wouldn't be about this big, huge thing that we're trying to accomplish in this moment. It would be way more about the years, the weeks, the months that we've put in prayer now, before it ever happens. Are you tracking with this? Because this is really good news. This is fantastic news for us. So, the idea here is that God wants relationship with you, regular relationship with you. What would my relationship be like with my wife if I only spent, like, and I mean, of course, you've heard preachers say this your whole life. What would it be like if I only spent an hour a week with my wife? That's not a good relationship. It's not going to work out. And, nope, I won't say that out loud. Okay. Okay, never mind. No, I'm just not going to do it. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Okay, my kids are in this room, so I'm going to leave it alone, and I'll just let your imagination run wild. Okay, so God wants relationship. And so I don't know if you've ever been in prayer or not before, and you're spending time in prayer, and you can sense the Holy Spirit there with you. I really hope that you have. Because that's a wonderful moment to have. And you pray a thing, and then God responds. Wow, that's like a tentpole moment where you can stake your life on this. I know God is real. He spoke to me in my heart. That's where this happens, is in this relationship time. Just spending time with God about just your daily life stuff. Okay, I need to move on. All right. Another reason why we pray is to demonstrate our faith. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 9. Pray like this, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now I want you to pay particular attention to verse 11 there. Give us today the food we need. Now why would God want us to pray? Because this is God telling us how to pray. So why would God want us to pray for things he already knows we need? Why would he do that? Why is he telling us to pray for things that he already knows you. He knows you inside and out. He knows everything about you more than you know yourself. He knows you completely. He knows what you need. He knows you need a car. He knows you need food. He knows you need a place to live. He knows all these things about you. He knows this. So why is he asking you to pray for these things? Because he wants you to put your faith out there. That's why. It's so that your faith starts moving. And here's what's really cool is the more your faith moves, right, and you see God come through, then your faith grows. Let's look at Matthew 6. I'm going to start in verse 28. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteousness, and he will give you everything you need. He wants you to put your faith, he wants you to put words behind your faith. Okay, God, I need a car. I know I need a car. I'm trusting you to come through for me. And then what happens is you pray this thing, whatever it is. Let's say a car. We'll just stick with a car because that's what's stuck in my brain. You need God to come through for a car. Yours is a piece of junk. It's time for a new one. You don't necessarily have all the money that you need or whatever, but it's time to start looking. So you ask the Lord, Lord, you know I need a car. You know I need a job. You know I need these things. God, will you give me what I need? Will you do? And then the Lord comes through, right? Then he comes through. So now the next time when you get ready to ask, your faith has grown because you've seen him come through. I mean, I told you guys the story about when we moved from here to Kentucky. Shannon and I operated in a lot of fear. We were nervous about how the house thing was going to line up, the school thing was going to line up, and all that stuff. And like the Lord put it together just like a jigsaw puzzle. I mean, it was terrific the way that it happened. Just one house to the other, and it was a beautiful thing. So then coming back here, I wasn't in nearly as much fear because I'd seen the Lord do it before. Now, that's the advantage of this gray hair. So if you're young, then, you still got to live through some of that stuff to get there. But I promise it's worth it because my faith is so much bigger now than it would have been, even 10 years ago because I've seen the Lord come through. I've seen the Lord do stuff, right? And he wants to do it in your life also. This is not just for preachers, like, who cares about me? I'm just a regular person just like you. I'm a sinner just like you. This is not just like for super spiritual people or whatever, because that's dumb, right? We all have the same access to Jesus. All right, this is for all of us. So when we ask in faith, then it comes through. Now we have more faith. So that's another reason for prayer, is to demonstrate your faith, to say, Lord, I want you to come through for me here. So let's do it. And then he does. Okay. Now, here's another reason why we should pray. It humbles us. It humbles us. When your car starts making a squeaky noise, why is the car the only thing I can think of this morning? When your car starts making a squeaky noise, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? You're like, okay, so who do I know? Who do I trust? Let me get on Facebook. Okay, Facebook, who's a mechanic that I can trust that's not going to rip me off, right? That's our first thought. Like, I got to get this thing fixed. I can't continue making this squeaky noise or whatever is wrong with it. The steering wheel's doing one of these things, right? I can't have that. What's the first thing we do? We ask other people. We find a auto body shop. Like a mechanic shop. We find a place to fix it. That's the first thing, because we want to try first, right? We don't want to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I got this car making this squeaky noise. What should I do? I mean, like if we were to, I don't want to raise hands, but if we were to raise hands, how many of us are just like that? How many of us, we want to try first? I want to go to the mechanic first. I want to go to Facebook first to find out, you know, like, who's the guy that I can trust? How many of us go straight to God first? Probably none. Probably none of us in here. We all want to try first. And so it humbles us to lay it out before the Lord. Okay, Lord, you're greater than Facebook. What do you want me to do here? What, like, the car's making a squeaky noise. I can ignore it. I can turn the radio up louder if you want me to. We'll worship and just ignore it. And it humbles you to put you, like, it humbles you to put yourself in that position to trust him. God, I'm trusting that you're going to fix that. And that's hard for all of us. So let's look at a story in 2 Kings. A guy named Hezekiah, a king named Hezekiah. The Assyrians were coming and were going to kill everybody. And so the king of Assyria sent King Hezekiah a letter, and it said, look, don't even try us. We're big and you're small, and we will crush you. Don't even try us. Just give up. That's basically what the letter said, and it insulted God a lot. So now here's Hezekiah's response in verse 14 of 2 Kings 19. After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. He spread the note out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations, and they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Assyrians could not destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone you alone, O Lord, are God. So that was his prayer, and I think that's a fantastic prayer. He went first. He didn't, because you can find this in other places in the Bible where they'll be like, okay, so let's send out a messenger to see if we can work out a deal. And maybe I can buy this guy away from killing me. In fact, that happens in other times in the Bible where some king is like, hey, you know, don't conquer us. I'll give you a whole bunch of gold, and I'll give you a whole bunch of silver, and then you just leave us alone. Hezekiah didn't try that. He just went straight to the Lord. He humbled himself and went straight to the Lord. And I think that's an important lesson for us. We need to do that too. We shouldn't always be the first one to try. So now let's catch up with King Hezekiah here in verse 32 of the same chapter. And this is Isaiah, the prophet, who has a book in the Bible. He gets a message, and this is the message. Okay, and this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march outside its gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. The king will return to his own country by the same road on which he came. He will not enter the city, says the Lord, for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. And then the king went back just like God said he would. Because King Hezekiah humbled himself. So somebody's picking on your kid at school. Right? That happens. Somebody's bullying your kid at school. What's our first response? Well, let me set up a meeting with the principal. Let me set up a meeting with the other parents. Let me set up a meeting with the teachers. Let me see if I can get to the bottom of this. How often is our first response, oh, Lord, help me out of this? Okay. Now, sometimes all we have is prayer. Sometimes all we have, like, maybe that's the way King Hezekiah felt about this. Maybe that he felt like his only option was to go to God, because maybe he really felt like they will destroy us if we go to war with them. Maybe that's the case. And that's how we find ourselves sometimes too, like in a situation where we have no control over the situation. Like when my son Levi was in the hospital, I remember, so he had had surgery when he was like 3 months old on his fingers. They were together. And he nearly died in that situation. He aspirated or what? I don't understand whatever happened. Anyway, so we spent time in the PICU, and you feel so powerless. And I'm sure some of you parents connect with this, right? You have nothing but prayer. And so you humble yourself, and you just go straight to the Lord. But that's not how most of us operate in most situations. But like you got that guy who's picking on your kid. Like how often do we think about this? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Where is it? But we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Your battle is not with the bad kid who's tormenting your kid. It's not. Your battle is not against the parents who aren't parenting their kid. Your battle is not even against your own kid who's probably causing some of the trouble himself. I mean, let's just be honest, right? Our battle. And so why do we spend so much time trying to control it first when our battle is not even with people? It doesn't make sense. Look, I get it. I'm a human. I do the exact same thing. I'm not throwing stones, right? I try to control the situation first myself. But truthfully, like, what would work better is if I realized that my battle is not actually against this broken car, not actually against this kid bullying my kid. My battle is against the principalities and the powers of darkness that are running this world. And so I should lay myself down before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to fix this. Because I can't fix it. That's what I need to do first. That needs to be my first response. Okay, so why does the Lord tell us to pray? Or why should we pray? To fulfill our relationship with Him. To demonstrate our faith and to humble ourselves. Also, simply because He tells you to. He tells you to pray. And that's enough because He's your boss. He's the big boss. He's the one. And you should pay attention to what he says. Look at this. In chapter 22 of Luke, verse 39. Jesus, they've gone out to the Mount of Olives. They've gone up to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. Now here's Jesus. He's God. And he's meeting with God on a regular basis. Why not just let his boys take a nap? Because that's what's going to happen here. They're just going to fall asleep. You guys probably know this story. And anyway, so we'll read a little. Do I have the verses? Yes, I do. Okay. So we'll read a little bit further. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you're willing to take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony that his spirit... such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. At last he stood up and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping, he asked. Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. So why? I mean, Jesus could have prayed for them, right? We certainly know Jesus' prayers count because his relationship with God was fully connected, right? So why would he ask them to pray? Because to humble themselves, to fulfill that relationship, to demonstrate their faith, right? He knew they needed something, something that God the Father was going to give that Jesus the present couldn't give in that moment. He tells us to pray. Then let's look at one more thing here. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Am I in the right verse? 21, 21, 22. Nope. How have I done this again? No, 21. Okay, there it is. All right, I was looking at 24. All right, I can't read numbers. My bad. Then I'm when you get old like me and Gene, then you can't read anymore. Okay. So then Jesus told them, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it." Jesus didn't say that like hyperbole. He didn't say that like just throwing out a thing. Like, Jesus was intentional with all of his words. He said, "You can even say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it." Man, that's really good news for us. Because we need stuff. We're humans. We need stuff. We need relationship. We need to see things happen in our world. Sometimes we need a car. Sometimes we need a job. Sometimes we need reconciliation with our people. And God is saying that it's all available to us through prayer. I mean, how else are you going to get to the Father to ask him questions without through prayer? He's not just going to show up, right? God's invisible. This whole thing. The whole thing is all faith-based, all of it, right? If you don't have faith, then you are kind of wasting your time here this morning, right? And any other time, you're, like, trying to invest in him. This is all faith-based. He's not going to show up and have a full-on conversation with you. He'll show up in your heart. Absolutely, he will. He'll talk to you through your heart, and it's so sweet, and it's so wonderful when you connect with him, right? But you gotta step out there first. You gotta go. God's not gonna knock you off your horse and show up real life in your face. And if he wants to hear you praying for the things that you need, then you have to pray for the things that you need. All right, I think that's enough for this morning. So we're going to do something similar as we did last week. We are just going to spend a little bit of time in quiet prayer. That's what we're going to do. This stuff is good stuff, right? It's not about my sermon. That's not what I mean. Like your relationship with God can be counted on. It can be real, and it can be vibrant, it can be alive, and it can be like just as real as your relationship with your spouse. Okay? So what I want you to do, I'm going to be quiet again for a minute, and then I just want you to humble yourself and talk to him about the stuff that you have not been talking to him about. Because there's probably some things that you're trying on your own. You're trying to accomplish it on your own, like parenting your kids. Lord knows that's so hard. Parenting your kids are so, because they're these people that have their own personalities that are opposite yours, right? And I'm sure there's things in your life that you are not talking to the Lord about. Probably, maybe some of us, because you don't want to hear what he has to say about it. So, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend just a quiet moment in prayer. And I'm just encouraging you, talk to him about the things that you have been afraid to talk to him about. Holy Father, probably in that moment, some people gave over to you something they've been holding on to for a long time. God, I pray for those in that category, God, that they don't walk out of here and try to recontrol it, that they don't walk out of here and try to put it on their shoulders and recarry it again. God, I pray that this moment is a moment of freedom that starts forever. God, that forever starts here with letting go of some of these issues. God, I pray that you'd help us all to go to you first, to remember you first, Lord. Help us to surrender ourselves entirely before you. Now, we can't fix it, you can. We can't accomplish this thing, you can. And so, Lord, I pray that you would always be prevalent in our minds, reminding us that you're here, that you're here, that you're here, that you're here, that you're here. And God, like helping us to turn ourselves over to you. You are the joy, you are the hope, you are everything. God, I thank you for Sunday school this morning. I pray that you bring us back next week for more Bible time, more time spent with you. God, I pray as we leave here throughout this week, God, that we are putting you first. And not just in our own lives, but showing other people, lost people in our community, God, that we're putting you first and that you're worth it. God, you're awesome. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I think that's all I got. It's 11:06. So that's good, right? What time do we normally get out of? Like 11:20 or something? I don't know. I never really pay that much attention. But, okay, I'm done. You guys can, we'll go.